You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here along with our MLB.com Phillies reporter Todd Zalecki. The Phillies continue to play through September here, look at younger players, try to make an impact in some way on the pennant races, and it's a chance to be spoiler, Todd, and they've done that a little bit this week. They take two of three from the Marlins, and they look pretty good doing it as the Marlins continue to kind of struggle. The Phillies may have actually, by taking two of three, been the kind of final nail in the coffin for the Marlins team, but does this Phillies team have an attitude where they're kind of taking some pride in that ability to be the spoiler?
Yeah, I think so. I think they would definitely love to finish strong, and if that means taking out a couple teams along the way, they're going to play the Mets again later this month. I think that would make the final month of the season a little bit more interesting for themselves and a little bit more fun for themselves. But overall, I think just as important as anything is they just want to get finish on a strong note. So if the byproduct of that is, like I said, knocking off the Mets, maybe hurting their chances, maybe cooling off the Nationals a little bit going into the postseason, maybe giving some people in D.C. A little bit of a headache. They certainly would welcome that. And it is something that they can play for in the final month of the season rather than just, just sitting here and go, well, we have a few more games to go. Let's just play them and get them over with.
The Phillies aren't headed to the playoffs, but the minor league teams in the upper level of the system are Lehigh Valley in the postseason, as is Reading. Reading with the best record in the Eastern League during the regular season. Both those clubs, Todd, lost their openers on Wednesday night. But when you look at minor league teams in the postseason as a whole, I think different organizations view it differently. But the Phillies seem like a team, they like to see their players in that competition, playing for a championship on their way up, because it can't hurt when you get to that upper level. And if I remember correctly, when you think back to the 09 team and the championship runs by the Phillies, a lot of those players played on good minor league teams on their way up.
They did. And I think there is a real value to that. A lot of people have asked me this season, why don't they just call up a lot of the young guys and have them, take their lumps up here? And the first answer to that question is, well, a lot of these guys aren't even close to being ready yet. But the second answer to that question is there is a definite benefit to be gained from playing on a winning team, even if it is Double A, even if it is Triple A, or, even Class A. To be in a winning environment, to kind of get that taste in your mouth, to kind of be in a situation where you it's a huge at bat with maybe your season on the line, is a lot different than getting a garbage time at bat the final week of the season, a pinch hit at bat in the fifth inning because then the starter's getting knocked out of the game. And again, one's big leagues, I get it. One is Double A, I get it. But that pressure, I think, can maybe help some of these guys just a little bit of experience along the way. And I definitely don't think it hurts. I think it can help them out. And that is a big philosophy of the Phillies. And that's why you've heard Phillies GM Matt Klentak say they're going to call up players in waves in September. So once Lehigh Valley's and Reading season ends, I think you might see another couple players or so join the Phillies. But right now they want them to play and get that postseason experience.
Yeah, because the focus in the minor leagues a lot of times in the day-to-day during a long regular season, that focus is on development and it's on your at-bats. And sure, you're trying to win the games, but you're trying to get better as a player. But I feel like once you get to that postseason, it really shifts and these guys just kind of want to win that ring, even if it's that Double-A ring. So certainly be fun to follow those teams. Hopefully they can get those series turned around. At the major league level, as we head back to the Philadelphia Phillies here, Alec Asher is going to make the start on Thursday. Obviously, he had to serve the 80-game suspension this season. It's interesting. I don't know what we make of him at this point. 2015, after he came to the Phillies after the Cole Hamels trade, he made 7 starts, and they weren't good, Todd. 0-6, the ERA over 9. How important are these next couple of weeks for Asher as he puts the suspension behind him and gets some work in?
Yeah, I think there's two things at play here. You mentioned the suspension. He wants to kind of get back into the swing of things and prove that he's a candidate moving forward. So if he can finish this season on a high note, even if it's just a few starts, it is going to be just a few starts. But if he can pitch better than not, I think it would go a long way because you look at this team going into next season, and there's a decent chance that, Jeremy Hellickson could come back if he accepts a qualifying offer. If he leaves, they're going to sign another veteran starter, at least one. Then you have Aaron Nola coming off an elbow injury. You have Zach Eflin coming off knee injuries. Jared Eichhoff is pretty much a lock at this point to be in the rotation on opening day next year. Vince Velasquez, you expect the same thing. But this is a kind of a long way of saying there are some spaces to possibly be filled. So if Alec Asher can come on and finish strong, if Aaron Nola is not ready, if Zach Eflin is not effective in spring training, if Jake Thompson struggles in spring training, he can definitely make a strong case for himself to enter that picture. And that's what these final few weeks are about for Alec Asher, is inserting himself into the conversation, the off-season conversation, that spring training conversation for a possible rotation spot.
Another guy that wants to be in that discussion, wants to be battling for a spot, is Adam Morgan, and he's back up and back starting. And I guess a change of a pitch, he's been working on a two-seam fastball, Todd. How big a difference is that making?
Looking at it just from this past few starts, it seems to have made a big difference. And also, that's been a big boost for Adam Morgan. Another thing I think helped is, when he got sent down the last time, he had a really, really long conversation. In fact, I think we were in Miami when he got demoted. I know we were on the road somewhere, and it was a really, really, really long postseason talk with Bob McClure and Pete Maccannon. And they basically said to him, listen, it was kind of a tough love talk. Like, you're not pitching good enough, and right now there's a lot of people ahead of you because you're not pitching good enough. So if you don't straighten it out and get things figured out, you're probably not going to be part of this rotation down the road. And to Adam Morgan's credit, now I think about it, it was actually in Colorado that he had this long meeting. I think it was in June or July. He said, to his credit, they were tough words. I needed to hear them, and it was good to hear some straight talk out of their mouths. And now I know exactly where I stand and kind of what I need to do. And I think sometimes that can be beneficial for a player. And so far, it seems like it's helped out Adam Morgan quite a bit.
From one Pete Maccannon meeting to another, on Saturday, he had a meeting with the hitters on the other side of things. What was that all about, Todd? Obviously, it's a point in the season where you are talking about finishing strong, like you mentioned, and getting things done the rest of the way, not packing it in. Was that part of the discussion with the hitters?
It was, yeah. He basically told them, a few things. You guys need to work on your two-strike approach. You guys need to have better quality at-bats. But also, listen, you got to try to finish this season strong. It's been a long year. A lot of you guys, are really new to the big leagues and learning on the fly a little bit. But the team has really been struggling lately, and now is not the time to kind of fold up shop and go home. A lot of people are fighting for jobs. And I think that's been a constant message of Pete's throughout the season is, nobody's job is secure. But I think the big part of it was try to finish the season strong. Try to finish the season on a strong note, because this offense right now has really been struggling. Just the other day they were like on pace to have the lowest scoring team since 1968 and the lowest on-base percentage since 1988 of Phillies teams. So a lot of improvement to be made. And, a good strong month from a guy like Aaron Altair or a good strong month from Cameron Rupp or Tommy Joseph, not that they don't have jobs already for next season necessarily, but it would make the Phillies feel a lot more comfortable about them going into next season. So if something maybe presents itself in the winter, or trade, a free agent signing, maybe they'll look in a different direction.
One more thing to touch on with you. The Roberto Clemente Award nominees were announced on Tuesday. This is a big deal every year in baseball. Obviously, the overall winner will be announced in October. It's during the World Series, but each team gets a nominee. This time around, Ryan Howard is the nominee for the Phillies. Obviously, probably Ryan Howard's final month as a Philly. What does he do? Because this award isn't about playing baseball and what you do between the lines. It's about what you do in the community. So what does Ryan Howard do in the Philadelphia community off the field to make Philly a better city?
He's really done a lot. And, it has been impressive. He started the Ryan Howard Big Peace Foundation, which has really been geared towards education among kids in the inner city. He's donated a lot of money and a lot of time for that. The big thing that he did this year, which got a lot of attention, is he donated a ton of money to the MLB Youth Academy. Now there's a Ryan Howard Training Center. Actually, it's just a couple blocks away from my house where I live in Philadelphia, and a really awesome indoor practice facility. The field right next door to it is where the Taney Little League team, Monet Davis fame, played all of their games. And now they have this awesome indoor practice facility to get better at their craft and to work on throughout the year. He donated that building basically does not get built without Ryan Howard, and he continues to donate lots of money. I was told that he's going to have another announcement at some point before the end of the season that he will continue to remain involved in the community. So there's a lot of good things going on that he does, and he really does. You know, it's not just like he cuts a check and that's it. I mean, he really does do a lot of events. He goes to a lot of events, and he is really, really involved. And that's why I think he's definitely a worthy candidate for sure for the Roberto Clemente Award.
Great stuff. And obviously, he may no longer be playing baseball in Philadelphia in 2017, but he won't be forgotten for what he's done on the field or off the field in that city for sure. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. For Todd Zalecki, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.